So in every situation, we're to respond in a way that brings God glory. To be in those situations and lean into that and not just want to get out or fix a circumstance misses the big picture of what life is about.
Hey Veritas, this is Sam Anderson and Jake Each, and you are listening to the Beyond the Message podcast. Sorry, I was thinking about Brett's video last night. The like looking, kept at, the looking at the camera. the gym.
That
was great. Yeah, Jake, we were in Daniel 9 yesterday. This is the first time in the Daniel series that we haven't had a whole chapter.
Yeah.
Right. So we've got a couple of breaks here, and then we'll be finishing up with Daniel before Advent, correct?
Yeah. Yep.
So we'll be done here in the next couple of weeks.
We got, the rest of chapter 9, and then we got 10. I think we go into 11:1, and then 11 and 12. We have a big section.
Big, big chunk to wrap up there in one message. Sweet. And then Advent starts. Yeah. Is it actually November 30th?
When does Advent officially start, or when are we starting?
How about yes to both of those? What is the actual official start date?
I think is it 4 or 5 Sundays from Christmas?
Yeah, so it starts November 30th this year.
I think we're actually on the Advent.
I joked. We were talking about this the other week, and I was like, well, we don't even do real Advent because we don't have Advent candles or wreath. there's no pageantry. There's no traditionalism, which I
– Did you grow up doing
– I grew up Lutheran. So had like – there was a special reading for each week of Advent, and like each one of the candles has a different meaning and representation. There's kind of like a devotional that goes
along.
We had one at home too. So like a centerpiece on like our table was like
– Really?
So we'd have like Sunday dinner and we'd light that candle. We're going to light us a candle. light that candle and then like read the devotional with it. So there was some intentionality connection there. That was kind of
sweet. I like as a church we typically – not all the time but do an Advent series to kind of focus in on the coming of Christ.
Yeah. So. Kind of a big deal.
It's a big deal.
We want to remember that.
Yeah.
Sweet. Anyways, Daniel 9, I asked you this before we started. I was like, did you actually have like
– Did
I
mean, you have
I got
a point?
All your questions.
You always got, love you it got when somebody says, questions. So did you even have a point?
What was the point? And what you said was kind of – I mean it was a little bit more of a deductive message because you gave us kind of the main idea and it's like, okay, we're going to this like throughout here.
There's a
– Different approach than we usually
do. There's an understanding of the purpose of exile. Is to get us to call out to God.
Yeah.
We see even Solomon talked about that. Moses talked about that, Deuteronomy 4. Jeremiah talked like that we would cry out to God. Well, this is Daniel crying out to God. So we kind of set that premise but then more looked at the prayer saying, okay, how should we call out to God is more the –
That's good.
So that was probably clearer than the whole message.
Right? No, it was good. I tracked with you. I had you at least said we're going to have 6 questions.
We did.
And you gave us all 6 of the questions.
I thought we were going to have a long Beyond the Message podcast because I didn't know we'd get to all 6.
We'll just cut the last 2.
Right.
We'll get to them tomorrow.
But I got to the 5th question and I looked up and it was like 30 seconds left on the timer. I was like, we could do one.
Nice.
Maybe we should.
In 30 seconds, right? All done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. So anyways, kind of the general thought was the purpose of exile is to draw us to God, like draw us back to God.
I think that's a foundational idea and then looking at, okay, how do we cry out to God?
Yeah. Sweet. So kind of had the what I summarized this. So we want to kind of the 6 points that we saw that in Daniel's prayer. So pray with the word, pray with passion, pray with reverence, pray with contrition, pray for mercy and forgiveness, and pray for God's fame.
Yeah.
Right.
That was great. We should have talked before the
message. Hey, I could have.
I phrased them in questions, but I mean, if you put them in points, that's what.
Sweet. Awesome. So anyways, I mean, as you were prepping for this and, you know, there's always stuff, good stuff that doesn't make it into Sunday morning or things that you thought could have helped or expanded on, but just obviously we were short on time yesterday. What would you include or expand on that you didn't have time for yesterday?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a sense of we can't buy into the lie that we can love God and not hate sin and Daniel's genuine brokenness over the sin of his people is clear in that prayer. Also that God's glory and the giving of mercy are not at odds.
Sure.
Part of what God's receives glory for is that he is a mercy-giving God. And to spend more time understanding that, because I think, you know, his righteousness, his justice, that he's just in his wrath and his punishment, and then to feel like, oh, but he gives us mercy, it kind of like, oh, does that erode at his glory then? It's like, no, that's part of his glory, that he is a grace-filled, mercy-giving, a steadfast love, a covenant-keeping God.
Yeah, that's sweet. You you mentioned – I forget which part it was, but you mentioned the like – it's kind of radical that Daniel was like, we did this. And it's like – it kind of seems like Daniel could have been like, y'all did this.
Yeah.
But this like ownership and responsibility collectively that really seems to like bump up against our individualistic culture. To us, sin seems to be more like just – like moral wrongdoing instead of understanding the nature and depravity of like our sin, our body of sin is not just our acts. It's anything that is against God, which can be heart postures, can be acts, can be words. Like it's not just things that we do, but it's like inherently our nature apart from God's grace. And so is there some of that that seems to – like rub up against an understanding of like what sin actually is and like how we think about it and how that leads us to pray?
Yeah, I don't think we're definitely very individualistic. And there's some truth to that. Like you're not saved because of someone else's faith. Mm-hmm. It's about your faith. Yep. And we have our sins that we're accountable to. But I do think we miss out on a connecting ourselves to the community of faith and the community of sin. And even in verse 20, which starts our section next week, Daniel says, I was confessing my sins and the sins of my people. Mm. It's like, when's the last time you confess the sins of other people? Like there is an aspect of, I'm a part of this community.
Right.
I'm a part of this church that maybe has been failing in these ways. And do we take some ownership in our prayers to God of forgive us? Mm-hmm. And even to – because there's sins of omission too. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, that's happening and I didn't say anything.
Right.
Or I've been complicit. I've been complacent about it. And just to kind of put ourselves in the community of people that have been disobeying God is a healthy perspective to have.
Yeah, because the one point that you made about praying with reverence is that – like thinking ultimately about sin being against a holy God. Mm-hmm. Like it's not like get yourself out of the picture. Like the offense is against God.
Yeah.
It's not like you failed. So like that grows to that reality understanding of like, oh, this is all about you, God. This is not about me. Like I need to fall flat on my face before you and understand that. So
we probably could have spent more time there because I think we often default into this understanding of just seeing sin horizontally, just how it affects the people around me, myself, or, my situation.
How other people affect me.
Yeah.
Like I've been sinned against.
And we fail to see the main offense of sin is vertical to a holy God. And that's really the punch in the gut that should put us in a posture of repentance that sees the severity of our sin that we need to recapture.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. Okay, second question here for you. So Daniel's prayer shows that the purpose of being in exile was not just like, hey, survive Babylon and then maybe maybe I'll do stuff. It's like, no, it's promise. Like we knew what was going on here. So that wasn't just about surviving Babylon, but letting that brokenness drive them back to God. So how can we see cultural decline, personal hardship, all of that as invitations to repentance and not just problems that we need to fix?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, there's a difference between punishment and discipline.
Yeah.
The Lord disciplines those he loves, and discipline is there to disciple, to teach. Punishment is just – you're punished for an action. And this is an act of discipline that's meant to teach his people to cry out to him. So if we belong to God, then the punishment was taken on the cross. God doesn't punish us, but he does discipline us.
Yeah.
So having that perspective that as a Christian, anything that comes my way, any trial, any difficulty, it's not punishment. My punishment has been taken on the cross.
Yeah.
It's discipline. So we always have to take the perspective of like, okay, what's he teaching? What's he doing? What do I need to learn from this? How do I need to lean into him in this? So we should view everything through those lenses. But you're asking like, how do we tell the?
Yeah, like how can, I guess how do we not slip into thinking we're being like,
yeah,
unintentionally? I think there's feelings or like when you get focused on the situation, it can seem as though you're being punished.
Yeah.
So how do we not slip into that false mindset?
Well, understanding the cross, right. There's now no more condemnation.
Yep.
I mean, that's punishment that was taken on the cross. So, but there is discipline.
Yeah.
And discipline needs to happen for a reason. Like there's, I mean, they were being disciplined because of their disobedience and they needed to learn to cry out to God. So I think rather than just like, okay, how do I get out of this hardship? What do I need to learn?
Yeah.
Why am I here?
Yeah.
What have I drifted from that I need to get back to? Just asking those type of questions.
Yeah. Not necessarily the why me, but like God show me, God teach me, God refine me, God grow me. Like just the
even the why me comes from a place of like, I don't deserve this.
Yeah.
This isn't fair.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, I deserve far worse.
Mm.
So but why this?
Yeah.
Why now? What should I learn here?
Yeah.
Is a good perspective.
And sometimes there's clear answers to that, and other times there's not like a direct answer to the situation and clearly connecting like, oh, this is exactly what I needed to learn and to grow. It might be like 15 years and you look back and it's like, oh God, I now see what you're doing. Or it might be in eternity, God's like, here's what I was doing.
Sure. And some things it's just, we live in a broken world. Like,
right.
You know, when the Pharisees asked Jesus, why was this man born blind? You know, is it his sin or his parents? And it's like for the glory of God.
Right.
So in every situation, we're to respond in a way that brings God glory. But to be in those situations and lean into that and not just want to get out or fix a circumstance. I don't like this circumstance, so I just want to get out of it as fast as possible. Misses the big picture of what life is about. Life isn't about a bunch of great circumstances. Life is about bringing glory to God. And in every circumstance, we have an opportunity to do that.
Yeah. So if we're in Christ, we're not being punished. We're being disciplined,
mm-hmm.
right? Is it possible that God discipline those who aren't in Christ? Or is that just clear punishment or like allowing to like part of the process to draw them to God is a discipline of like, hey, I'm giving you what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And help, like Nebuchadnezzar, like
dude
started off very far from God and seems like how things end up in, was that chapter 6? Is that is that his restoration?
Yeah. And then,
it seems like he's restored to God and like, has a connection.
Yeah, and you get a contrast between the way Nebuchadnezzar responded and the way
right.
Belshazzar responded.
So even then, is it like in the moment, it's like, well, if you're not in Christ, it's hard to tell if it's punishment or discipline or like just desserts. But like the end result will, if it's discipline, you will be drawn to God.
Yeah, and certainly there's hardships that draw people to God. But I would also say God never fails in drawing somebody to
Correct.
Himself.
Yeah.
So
I'm just saying more from like our perspective of like
is there a
common grace of God
that
somebody that's not in Christ could be being disciplined?
And that is so many people's stories.
Right.
You know, when it wasn't until I hit rock bottom or I went through this trial that I looked up.
Yeah.
And God uses hardships to get people's attention all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Sweet. Not just interesting, like because clearly there is a difference. God doesn't punish. God doesn't punish those he loves. He disciplines.
Well, and I think often God's discipline is giving us the idols that we think we want.
Yeah.
And you taste the emptiness of it.
Oh, you're sure.
And even in like the story of the prodigal son, which you want to go live it up? Here you go. Like the father gave him his inheritance early. He didn't have to do that, but it's like. Until you taste like what you think you want, you don't want.
Yeah.
the Israelites, you think you want to be like the Babylonians? You don't want to be like the Babylonians. Mm. And until you live in that culture right. under that, you're not going to realize right. that.
Or even you think you want a king?
Yeah.
Here you go.
And who is like sometimes the discipline of the Lord is we get the leaders we deserve.
Mm.
It's a reflection of sure. our culture yeah. and or you get the idols that you want and yeah. you have to taste the emptiness of it. And hopefully it's like, okay, you drink sand, pretty soon you're going to want water.
Yeah.
And in God's kindness, sometimes when you want sand, he's like, all right, take a big gulp.
Yeah.
So
you just remind me, I've got a book in one of my many stacks that's and I think that's the general premise of it. It's here are your gods or here are your idols. That's yeah. what it is. And it's just pretty much that like this all fails. Like
yeah.
all of that is not going to last. It's not going to satisfy.
Yeah.
Like the only thing that does is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Should maybe bump that up to the top of the list. Might need to read that. Sweet. So Jake, last question here. Daniel's confession. So ends with a plea for mercy and a passion for God's glory. What's your encouragement for somebody in our church that's maybe had zero experience in praying like this? Mm-hmm. Like to them, maybe they grew up in a Christian church or maybe this whole like Christian life thing is brand new. And it's like, well, I kind of thought prayer was just like, I need God to do things or I need help. Yeah. And like, I'm crying out to him. And like, how do we pray like that or grow in that where like the main goal isn't just comfort or relief, but revival and renewed offer God? How can we grow in praying like that?
I think that based on a lot of conversations I had with people after, perhaps some of the confusion is, you know, are you telling me that, you know, praying in the car on my way to work is wrong or praying just like throwing up prayers, you know? And what I realized, perhaps, I'd answer that like, well, no. And what a, you know, pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
Like continue.
In all things.
In all things.
Prayer and supplication.
Yeah.
Make your request known to the Lord.
But if that alone is what prayer looks like in your life, it's always just on the run. Mm-hmm. It's always just quit. And you never have times of, I turn my face to the Lord.
Yeah.
You have all of my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And every prayer that we pray, I would put in the category of like informal prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And you never have formal prayer. Times of yeah. prayer. Then that's not healthy. That's not the kind of relationship we're called into. And Daniel is clearly like he has rhythms of his prayer. Even those weren't informal prayers
right.
though. But this is like, okay, I'm pleading to the Lord specifically, passionately for myself and my people.
Mm-hmm.
We do need those types of prayer in our life. So the reaction of like, are you saying I can't, you know, pray like this? And I'm like, no. And I even said in like – of course,
right,
like that's a blessing.
Setup, right.
But I'm suspicious as like if that's kind of the defining thing of our prayer life. It's always on the run.
Yeah.
It's always, you know, informal, in between things. We're just so busy that we never have, I turn my face to the Lord. You have mm. all my attention.
Mm.
More I'm addressing my God and his holiness. Then we're missing something.
Yeah.
And it doesn't speak to the type of relationship we're supposed to have.
Yeah.
And informal prayers are not the same as flippant prayers.
Yes.
I don't think there's ever a place to address God flippantly.
Right.
Now, there's a time to address God freely
mm-hmm.
throughout our day,
mm-hmm.
In the moment, yes. But we have access to God because God changed who we are.
Yeah.
He gave us Christ's righteousness.
Yep.
But that doesn't change who God is.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been made holy to address God. God has not been made unholy to be addressed in an unholy way. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I think it is that it kind of telling probably from some of those conversations or even just in like the misunderstanding, the call isn't to not pray
yeah.
whenever. The call is like, let's step it up. let's be more intentional in formal prayer. If you don't have formal structure in your prayer, like how might somebody start in that?
Sure. And when Paul says pray without ceasing, you could take it like, okay, there's a wonderful book, an old classic by Brother Lawrence, Practicing the Presence of God. He's a monk who just like really worked on realizing God's presence all the time, whether I'm washing dishes, whatever, like be aware of God's presence. So there's a praying without ceasing that you'd be like, okay, I'm always aware of God and kind of walking with him and honoring him. Yep. And that's healthy. Or it's like pray without ceasing. Like prayer should be a part of your life and never have it not be a part of your life throughout your whole lifetime. Right. So if you pray three times a day or you pray in the morning, like, persist in that. Don't cease having that as a discipline of your life. Both are true. But I think we can fall into Christianity that's just built around our already busy schedules. It's supposed to fit in our convenience and it's never disruptive. So our prayer life is always like when I can fit it in, always on the run. And when exile is supposed to produce in us, seek me with all your heart, that's going to be disruptive.
Yeah.
That's got to take precedent in your calendar. Right. And does that kind of prayer ever show up in our lives?
Right. So it might be something as simple as like actually scheduling a time to pray. Like I'm going to, instead of doing these other 80 things I can do on like Friday over lunch, I'm going to go spend some I'm going to go on a prayer walk, or I'm going to spend some intentional time praying for my connection group or praying for our church.
Think of it like this. Let's say I have constant communication with Marcy. Hey, what's for dinner? Do you need me to get anything? Who's picking up Rudy? What's our plan this weekend? Like just quick text message, you know, kind of informal communication that happens regularly. If that's all the communication we had in our marriage, Marcy's probably going to come to me and be like, I feel like we have a communication problem. I feel like we're not, and I'm like, what do you mean? We talk all the time. It's a type of she might be like, I think we need a date. Like we need to get away. I need your full attention and let's just talk. If my response was like, we don't have a communication problem, I texted you like 8 times today. Like it's just all informal communication.
Generalization, you might be dating yourself. 8 times a day might not be enough.
That's a lot. I don't know. I would look at my
If it was all just.
Yeah, if it's all just informal type of communication and we think we're communicating great, we would feel like, I don't think. From her vantage point, relationally, she'd be like, I don't think we're really talking. I'm like, we're talking all the time.
Yeah.
That's, I think, often how we approach a relationship with God. It's just quick. It's like, talk frequently throughout the day. But you need some times where it's like, even Jesus, go and shut your door, pray, you know. Turn your face to God. Give him your full attention. It's the type of prayer that's needed in our relationship.
Yeah, that's good. I love that. So you mentioned, what was the book, Practicing the Presence of God?
Yeah, Brother Lawrence. It's an old classic.
There's a couple others. I mean, but I don't want to like disparage books because I want to be quick to like, oh, here, read these books and do these things. But it's also like, I think just the principle of, do you have time devoted and dedicated to intentionally be alone with God?
Yeah.
Which that for me is like, I'd say of all the spiritual disciplines, silence and solitude are like the most unnatural, like heart. But every time I do it, it's like even this morning driving into work, I didn't turn on the radio. I didn't turn on a podcast. Yeah. I'm just like, I'm thinking, praying. I'm working on memorizing some scripture right now. But even that, it's like I'm still driving. And so it's like as I'm doing something else, it's like that's good. But then go to the next. It's like, did I just like sit down and open scripture and pray, or like have things like my list that I'm like praying for other people that I'm going to God in and depending on, and then also just like sitting like, God, show me areas in my life where I'm blind to unhelpful things that aren't from you. And
Yeah, and I don't want to open Pandora's box towards the end of a Beyond the Message podcast. Sure. But I think even in our culture, like we're not a dress up for church culture. We're pretty casual. And I think there's defensible reasons. Like, you know, we don't want to be whitewashed tombs where it's like, okay, we wear our Sunday best, but, you know, we got all kind of heart problems. Like there's an authenticity of, hey, let's just be ourselves and come before the Lord. I love that. I am concerned about it slipping into that we think the best expression of closeness to God is this casual, informal approach, and we lose a reverence for God. And I think that that's an easy ditch to fall into for our culture, for particularly like our culture, like Veritas culture as well. Like we can take casual too far when it comes to a holy God. I don't quite know how to navigate that because I think there is another ditch you don't want to fall into as well.
Because some of it's immaturity. Mm-hmm. Like some of it somebody just doesn't know.
Yeah.
But that's where I think, because you mentioned yesterday, like we take God seriously, we don't take ourselves too seriously. Mm-hmm. That plays into that. But like where we should never be slow to challenging somebody of like, hey, do you not see that this is a big deal?
Yeah.
Like this – and it's not like I'm coming at you from this moral high ground. Mm-hmm. It's the Galatians 6 approach of like in the spirit discerning like you're caught in a transgression.
Yeah.
Like this is not good for you. This is hurting your holiness. This is hurting your closeness to God. I'm coming to you as a brother. Like be restored.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're on point there definitely of like – if we can recapture a reverence for God and be intentional. Now, that doesn't mean we all go off the slope and fall into the ditch of like stoicism.
Sure.
Like a reverence for God displays itself in true, authentic worship that is emotional, that is like real and it is like close and exciting and joy-filled. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely not flippant.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Good deal.
Sweet. Well, yeah, I mean,
listener questions?
Didn't have anything. You answered everything. However, I did show you there was a review left in the bathroom stall of some mess of toilet paper. Yeah. Somebody's kid maybe got a little too excited with some toilet paper, but no, it's no listener questions. No actual reviews. Just some.
Don't throw wet toilet paper.
We're thankful. We're thankful we have a church building. Yeah. Sometimes people use it inappropriately.
Yeah.
But
here's a public service announcement to our people. If you go to the 9:30 and can go to the 8 or 11, that would be really helpful.
Yeah, we had people we had to pull out chairs and like even in the balcony area, balcony seating. We had like overflow seating out there in that seating area yesterday.
And there's some seats at 8 and 11. So and I know some people can't because of classes or anything, but if you can, that'd be a big help.
Yeah. Sweet. Good deal. Anything else? Are we turning the corner into like the
any other announcements?
Like we're just gonna shame people. They don't do this anymore. No. That's sweet. Well, yeah, again, just, I mean, would we think about the inconveniences or the troubles or the way that God is disciplining us? Would we think about that in a way that draws us to God, not turns us inward on ourselves and we throw a pity party, but would we desire closeness to Him and have a reverence and be intentional in that? So, Jake, thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks for opening up. Are you up again in Daniel or are we?
Yeah, I'm up through the end of the book. So
it's all you.
Yeah,
all right.
We got some.
Let's do it.
Wade through some weird stuff together.
Rock and roll.
Yeah.
Get into it. And then what's kind of the approach for Advent? What's that series?
Our Advent series is the character of God and the coming of Christ.
Sweet.
So we'll look at some different attributes of God that we learn through the way He came to us in Christ.
Cool. Awesome. Good deal. All right. Well, Jake, thanks for being here. Church, join us again next week for another episode of The Message.